Welcome to another clandestine episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts, Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, our topic is Secret Warriors, Nick Fury, Agent of Nothing. And now, the cast begins.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another secret episode of the Atomic Power Supercast. Have we used that one before?
I don't know.
My name's Andy and I'm hanging out with David.
Shh, secret.
And Jen.
It's not really a secret.
And this week we read Secret Warriors, Nick Fury, Agent of Nothing.
Volume 1.
And this was really good. I really enjoyed reading this.
Yeah, John Hickman is a really good writer. Yeah. If you enjoyed this, you should finish reading this series and then go pick up John Hickman's run on Fantastic Four. And I know Fantastic Four is not always the most popular comic. I mean, it is pretty popular, but I think it's very, like, people hate it or people love it.
Yeah, I shit on them all the time.
And I was not a big fan of Fantastic Four until I read the John Hickman run.
And this
and
is...
now I'm a fan of the John Hickman run Fantastic Four.
But, like, I would have finished reading the rest of this. This was, what, 24 issues this entire run?
Yeah, something like that. It was about 24 issues.
We read the first five. And, oh, man, that's like such a I just want to say how great of a move it was for John Hickman to say, all this time, S.H.I.E.L.D. has been part of Hydra.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was really good, yeah.
Because I was like, that's a retcon, sir. That is a wonderful retcon, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to, like, poop on retcons all day long, because some of them are just freaking stupid.
Right, like when we started off, we did the Dark Phoenix thing, and we did the one where we're like, oh, it wasn't Jean Grey all along, it was the Phoenix before. Jean Grey's just been, like, buried in a capsule for 40 years or some shit. Like, it was so fucking stupid, but this is great.
Yeah, this one, like, it's possible. I mean, Hydra's a huge organization, and they have, like, secret agents everywhere. That's, like, their thing, right?
Yeah, they've got, like... Well, we see, and I think it's an issue too, we see like a giant underwater city that's all Hydra, and then like a giant mountain fortress that's all Hydra. Like, they have entire fucking cities that's just filled with Hydra agents.
I think part of the reason that it seemed really reasonable too is it didn't necessarily feel like a retcon. It felt more like a big reveal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's how you do a retcon, right? Instead of saying, this never happened, you're like, everything you thought you knew was wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. It doesn't really...
It doesn't break anything.
Yeah, it doesn't replace anything that happened. It's like, oh, you didn't know. Not even Nick Fury knew, and now we have a comic.
Yeah. And that's the other reason it's a great reveal, because it gives Nick Fury a purpose. Or, like, it says Agent of Nothing, which makes sense, because he's not an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., he's not an agent of Hammer, he's not an agent of anything. He's an agent of nothing, basically, himself. But this, like, gives him a purpose. Because before, you know, he's just kind of fucking around. Let's go and stop Hydra from getting this stuff that I think they're probably going to be after.
Well, now he seems more like a superhero, right? Because before, I mean, Nick Fury's... I mean, I don't know the backstory of why he's, like, so... He has such, like, good longevity. But he seems to... Like, he was always a military. He was head of a military organization. Now he's on his own with a team, like a small team of guys. So that's like a different role for him, it seems like. I mean, he's a good leader still. But, yeah, it seems it's like not only his world is torn down, and now he's got to be the hero instead of being the guy that bosses the heroes around. Yeah. I mean, he's still bossing some heroes around, but...
Yeah. But I like this this trade, too, because there were two scenes. Like, I came into this, I've seen Nick Fury in the movies, basically, and I've seen him pop up once or twice reading Marvel Comics, because I don't read that many, right? So most of what I've seen in Nick Fury is stuff we've, like, seen him pop up in before, which is very little. But there's two scenes in here that told me everything I needed to know about Nick Fury. The one was when, what's-her-face, Maria Hill 2, is what I kept calling her in my head.
Oh, Daisy?
Daisy. There's that scene where she's, like, walking down a hallway explaining the burden of working for a badass. And I was like, that's an awesome way to describe it. Like, because then that's how you know he is professionally and how he treats his team. And then the other scene is him having dinner with Tessa. And it's like, that's him out in the field trying to handle shit on his own. So you see him as a leader and how fucking hardcore of a leader he is, and then you see him how fucking hardcore he is on his own.
But then, like... since you brought up Contessa, the last page in the whole series.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Nick Fury knows that?
No.
No.
He has no idea that she's Madame Hydra.
Crazy. I don't think so.
But wait, wasn't there a new Madame Hydra? Or is she the new one?
She is the new Madame Hydra.
Okay. It was a little confusing at times, because I don't know any of these people.
I think Nick Fury is, like, suspicious of her.
Right. Because, like,
he's a good secret agent.
Yeah.
But he doesn't realize. I don't think he realizes that she's Madame Hydra. Because he's going for her to... he went to her for help, essentially.
Yeah. Because wasn't Viper the old Madame Hydra? Or something like that. Like, there was a scene where they talked about how she was Madame Hydra. Madame Hydra's here, and we see Viper here.
Right, yeah.
So they're obviously not the same role anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they were like, that's the wild cards. Is we don't know about this old guy. Was the Kraken or something? Mm-hmm. And then we don't know about the new Madame
Hydra. Oh, man, when they reveal who Kraken is, like, later in the series... I don't want to talk about it, but you have to read it.
So then the other villain too. Has Gorgon been around before? Because they were like, Gorgon's resurrected. Oh shit! And I'm like, it's a dude with a sword.
I don't know about who. I don't know where Gorgon is from before this, but I think he has something to do with the Hand, like the ninja organization.
Yeah, I think we get like a one page background of him having killed all of the Hand.
Yeah, and then like Silver Samurai is all mad that they're
resurrecting him.
Yeah.
You know, man, Silver Samurai, that's a cameo I didn't expect.
Well, he's such a, he seems like such a cheesy character, but he's actually pretty badass. Like, he can go toe-to-toe with Wolverine.
Well, I think it was...
Well, I guess that's not saying that much. Wolverine gets his ass kicked a lot. He just heals.
That's kind of his thing. You can kick my ass all day, it's fine. I'll never stop coming for you. So let's talk about his team that he's assembled. Do we like any of them? Do we like all of them? None of them?
I think they're all pretty cool people. Well, except JT. He's kind of... But they have
JT's
to have,
a giant douche.
They have to have, like, the lone wolf on the team.
Yeah,
you have to have a Wolverine.
He's got kind of neat powers. Well, I guess he just has a whip.
Just like a flaming chain.
That's a thing, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you could just recruit a Ghost Rider, and then you'd get a motorcycle, too.
But he had to recruit secret people. And Ghost Rider's way more obvious than this guy.
Yes, with the flaming skull and everything.
Because how are you going to be like, okay, like, imagine you're Nick Fury, and you're, like, getting everybody wear your, like, shield outfits, and we're going to go through this portal, and we're going to surprise these guys, and Ghost Rider's, well, can I bring my motorcycle? No, it's too loud. But that's my thing.
I kind of need it.
I'm not the ghost walker.
You should write comics.
Oh my god. You can make a team of just walkers where somebody takes like Ghost Rider's bike away, so he teams up with Blade, so you can have Ghost Walker and Daywalker.
Oh my god.
And you could make a character like Sleepwalker.
Sleepwalker is a character.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Boom, there's your team. Three people. You need a couple more walkers.
We just gotta take away people's who, like, powers are based on vehicles. Like, take away Silver Surfer's surfboard.
Bam, Surf Walker. Or Silver Walker.
Yeah, Silver Walker. And he's just like the silver guy that you see at the, like, at the fair. Who, like, stands still. That's his power now.
Amazing, this team would actually be pretty badass.
Well, yeah, I mean... Yeah. Are there any more vehicle-based heroes?
Does anybody ride on a horse?
The Black Knight. He has a horse that has wings.
Boom. Take that shit away. The Black Walker.
The Black Walker.
Okay, so this comic.
Yeah. All right, so we've established that JT's kind of a douche.
Who was Druid? The whole time Druid was, like, in the background, and he kept showing up, and I'm like, I don't... Does this guy ever die alone?
I really want to know about him.
He's not in it. He becomes much more important later.
Okay. Because we really didn't get much of anything of him.
The first one, we see him, like, looking all badass, and for the longest time, I thought he was the tall guy, and it took me a while to realize he was the pudgy bearded one. And I was like, a pudgy bearded guy in a robe who calls himself Druid? Is this... Like, does he play D&D in his spare time?
No, he's a LARPer.
He has magic powers.
I know he has powers, but it's like...
So there was an Avenger named Druid. A little bit of a spoiler alert here. There was an Avenger named Druid who was like a magic user, and this is his son.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you know what my first thought was when I saw Druid and saw that he was a pudgy fat guy? Have you heard of the movie Knights of Badassdom?
Yes.
Where they're LARPers and they accidentally actually open a portal to hell. I just imagine that Druid was out there LARPing and accidentally actually activated some powers. I was like, this is from that movie, isn't it? And then we have the kid. What does the kid even do?
Phobos?
He's a god.
He's the Greek god of fear.
Okay.
That's pretty useful.
He is the Greek god of fear. Well, because he doesn't do anything in this either.
Yeah, he just like walks around the secret bases.
Well, because Nick Fury,
hey, JT, you want to fuck with some shit?
Nick Fury is like not sure what to do with him because he's really powerful, but he's also a kid who doesn't know really how to use his powers.
Any relation to like the whole Hercules family?
Yeah, he is the son of Ares.
Okay,
and Ares is Hercules' brother, stepbrother, half brother, whatever.
They're Greek. They're all fucking related. All these Greek gods.
Okay. So yeah, Hercules is his uncle.
Okay.
And Ares, who is, since we're in Dark Reign, Ares is on, was one of the Avengers. And yeah, Ares is his dad.
Well, they're gonna have to meet eventually, right?
Yes, they do interact in this comic.
They're gonna have to. And then we have Daisy McGlowing Hands.
Well, she does her code name is Quake.
Okay.
She does like shockwaves or something.
Okay. I swear I did read this.
Well, they don't do that. There's not like a ton of fighting in this comic.
See, but that's the thing. That's the one thing that kind of bugs me about this comic and its pacing is there is a lot of fight. In the first five issues, there's like four battles. But if you notice, all the fighting is like one page of small frames and build up, right, and tight shots of them coming into the fight, and then one big two page splash of a giant battle, and then one page of post giant battle. So no matter how big and epic the fight is supposed to be, it never takes up more than three or four pages.
Well, so I think the biggest battle in the issues we read was when they stole the helicarriers, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. But that was like three armies fighting. It was Hammer, the former S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, led by Dum Dum Dugan, Hydra, and then the Secret Warriors all like mixing it up at the same time.
Yeah. But that's like, even then it didn't feel like it had the same number of pages it deserved? I don't know. I just feel like all of the action was contained, so...
Well, I think it's maybe a little bit of a challenge, because this is like a secret agent type comic, right? But you have a bunch of superheroes with splashy powers and stuff, so how do you use them successfully?
And be quiet about it.
Yeah.
Like a secret agent would.
Well, I mean, if you're out in the middle of the ocean, or whatever, and I think that's where some of the fighting takes place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, no.
Well, it's at a secret military
base. Yeah.
Like at a dock.
But it's not like everyone's going to know about them.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was the one thing that kind of weirded me about the pacing here. You know, like, we can get a page and a half of JT and Phobos dicking around of Nick Fury's desk in his office. But we get, like, that scene of them dicking around the office, we get just as many pages as we do as Giant Epic Battle.
Well, I mean, this I think it's hard to sometimes, judge comics like this because a lot of times when we've done comics before, like when we did Kraven's Last Hunt, mm-hmm. You know, it's part of three ongoing Spider-Man series, but it's a contained story. This, you know, the issues we read are a trade, but it's not a contained story.
Yeah, the story does not end here.
This is just the setup for the whole series. It's like, this is the problem. Hydra is S.H.I.E.L.D. Or S.H.I.E.L.D. is Hydra, I should say. Yeah. Nick Fury is trying to save the world, but he has to do it all secret-like, and he recruited these people. And we kind of get introduced to them, we get introduced to the villains, and the problem, and then that's it. So if it was just people fighting for six issues, we wouldn't really learn much about the characters other than what their powers are.
Yeah, the pacing has to bend to the story, so that you can get that reveal. So yeah. You can know, like, JT doesn't care about this kid getting in trouble, but he does care about this kid going into battle.
Yeah. So we learn, like, JT's a douche, but he's a douche with a golden heart, kind of.
A golden-hearted douchebag?
Yeah. And then, like, Daisy is the good soldier, loyal person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Druid's kind of the comic. He's the 3PO and R2. Yo-Yo's the tragic person because her arms get cut off by Gorgon.
Like in issue 3?
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Stonewall's the
strong silent type.
You know, he and Yo-Yo remind me of Kitty Pryde and Colossus.
Yeah.
The way that, like, their relationship, too.
Yeah.
It's not overtly romantic, but there's definite caring there.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, Phobos is the one who gives the predictions of what's going to happen to them all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he can, like, make people see, like, experience their fear. Like, he tries to use his powers on Gorgon, and Gorgon, what does he say? He's like, I fear nothing because I've been dead, or something to that effect. So yeah. I've experienced death, so I fear nothing.
Like, what are you going to show me, kid? Give it a fucking shot. I'm going to murder the shit out of you.
I think... What sucks, too, is, like, we haven't read the Ares... There's, like, an Ares miniseries that came out before this where it talks about Phobos' background, and he's a much bigger badass than he appears to be in these six issues.
Well, I mean, if he's a Greek god, even if he's a kid, right? I mean, he still has all those powers and abilities.
It seems more like they're babysitting him than using him as part of the team.
Like, in the Ares miniseries, Phobos gets kidnapped by the Japanese god of fear because he wants to make, like, a new servant thing, and he becomes, like, a samurai.
Okay.
So he's, like, a master swordsman, too. But he's also a kid, so he wants to play Xbox.
Call of Duty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So of the people on the team, which ones did you guys like the best? Or who's your favorite?
I don't know. I didn't like JT. I didn't like Phobos especially.
I think, yeah, Phobos didn't do anything to, like, stand out, really.
I mean, plus he just seems like a little twerp, right? Like, that scene that you first see him with Nick, and he's like, oh, don't worry, I fixed the game, so it's harder for me, and, you know, quit being such a baby about it. I'm playing Call of Duty murdering motherfuckers. It's like, you're just a little fucking brat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, and then Daisy's kind of cool.
I
think she's the one we see a lot of growth out of.
Well, we kind of get, like, Stonewall, we don't really know anything about him until after Yo-Yo gets hurt. And then he's like, he turns into this giant rock monster and tries to kill Gorgon.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, he's just really strong. And then, oh, wait, no, he gets fucking massive, too.
Oh, what's the teleporter guy's name?
Oh, the Aborigine?
Yeah, I forgot his
Eden.
Name.
Eden,
yeah.
That's right.
He's pretty interesting.
He's cool. But they don't show too much of him, because he comes in a bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine he has to show up a lot more. Because that's a fucking sick power. Oh, I've been space and time. No big.
I liked him. He seems pretty interesting.
Honestly, I think I like Dum Dum Dugan.
Yeah.
I mean, not just for the silly name, but I like that he's like... Like, Nick Fury is the hardcore badass that knows he's a badass and wants to play it to the fact that he's a badass. Whereas Dum Dugan is a badass, but he'd rather swig a couple beers and smoke a cigar than go out and be a badass.
But I think he knows that he's a badass, too.
Oh, he does. I just like that he still rocks the bowler, but he's got, like, the general stripes on it.
And the mustache.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive mustache.
He's got no shame rocking all that.
I gotta say, I have no strong feelings about this team. Like, either way. They're okay. They're neat, but... Also, their name is really dumb.
Secret Warriors?
They're Caterpillars.
Oh, yes.
What the fuck?
Caterpillar base?
Yeah, they're not actually called Secret Warriors.
That'd be way better.
Yeah. Well, maybe after they go through a little bit more training, they can become the Butterflies.
That's still really not
or,
so hot.
Or the Moths.
I don't know if they're... Are they actually called the Caterpillars, or is it just the name of the base?
I think the base is Caterpillar Base.
But I think they, like, call themselves that a couple times.
Really?
I think so.
It's like in the first issue.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And then they move to another base that has a better name, but I can't remember the better name.
Yeah. I wish I... Man. There was some stuff in here that, just seemed kind of forgettable. I don't know. I was reading this, and it really felt like watching... a 90s kids cartoon.
Oh.
Like, it was okay, it was fun, but it wasn't that enthralling.
Yeah, I think, if I remember correctly, this comic came close to getting canceled towards the beginning. See, but it gets better. It's like one of those things that it's kind of builds up, right? Because there's a lot of secrets and stuff. Like, I the reason I suggested this story is because I think, because in my mind, it's a great Nick Fury story.
It is a good, I mean,
I'm remembering it through the lens of someone who's read the whole run.
Well, still, even in the first trade, right, like, there's a lot of other characters and that sort of thing, but you really only get development of two people. You get development of Nick Fury, right, and his path of discovering that all this time he's been working for Hydra, and what the fuck is he going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, and then you get the development of Daisy, too. He was like, coming to terms with the understanding of what it means to lead a team. I mean, she already knows what it's like to work for Nick Fury. She tells us that in the first issue, what it's like to work for Nick Fury.
Yeah.
That she understands entirely. But the idea of leading a team, that's a whole new thing for her, and she's coming to terms with that. So those are the only two characters we really get development on when we get a book full of, like, seven or eight people, you know?
I like her whole thing, too, where she tries to be really just canny with Nick Fury, and he's like, nope, don't trust you yet. And the question she asked too, I don't know, some of them are kind of dumb. She says, like, when did you get your own army? It's like, you were there for that. You would notice.
And aside from that, it's Nick Fury. That's not...
Yeah, why...
I mean,
why are if Nick Fury
tells me I rustled up a secret army nobody knew about, I'd be like, makes sense. I'm part of a secret superhuman powered team that nobody knew about. I believe you have a secret army.
Also, he says he didn't hit the panic button.
Yeah.
Who did? Is that? Do we have
somebody
any
must
clue?
Have called them in?
I don't think we know yet.
Okay. I really want to know.
You gotta keep reading.
See, that's what I think. This as a trade. I think as a trade, it's not as solid, but it does a really good job of setting up a story that I want to read the rest of. Like, the plot elements that are here, I really like. The chance for character dynamic, I really like. The only thing is, like, that's kind of the problem with picking up just one trade, picking up the first volume, you know? If it's a big team with a lot of characters that you don't know, then you just don't, you have to... As much as I like the writing in Jonathan Hickman, like, he has to take the time to build this plot and this story, and the character development's just going to have to come later. It has to take a back seat.
So did we want to talk about the art?
Yeah. Did you like it?
I really like this art.
It's digital done well. Like, you can tell it's definitely digital painting.
Mm-hmm.
It's blotchy in that way, but in a good way. But I think the line art and the coloring went together really well. And there was enough detail without it being, like... You know how sometimes line art is so detailed, you have, like, a billion lines on someone's face, and it's really just a travesty?
Yes, I do remember Nova.
Yeah, it didn't do that, so this is good.
And there's some places where it really shines, too. Like, JT's flaming chains, you know, or Druid's, like... pentagram, star, mm-hmm. things he has coming off of his hands. Like, that's really hard to do with traditional line art. But with digital, you can really make it look good.
Yeah, I think Druid, I mean, we kind of made fun of Druid a little bit, but when he uses his powers, it looks pretty awesome.
It looks mm-hmm. really, really good. I think the other decision, I don't know if it was the artist or the writer who put it in the notes to do, but I like that whenever you see the superheroes fighting, you see them just kind of hitting guys and knocking them back, you know? Or people are kind of beat up, but it's not really brutal. It's not savage. It's violent because there's the action, but it's not like Saving Private Ryan's, you know, D-Day rush where you see faces getting blown off. But then when you see Nick Fury go into action, it does get that level of grotesque where it's like you understand, like with Nick Fury somehow there's like a deeper level of realism with what he's doing. It's not abstract like all the superhero business that's going on.
No, but he's killing life model decoys.
Oh, are they life model decoys?
Yeah. Look at... People don't have green stuff inside them and wires coming out of their eyeball, Andy.
Depends who they are.
Yeah.
Maybe just that guy got shot in his cybernetics.
But even so...
I get what you're saying. There's a guy's face coming
there's
apart.
There's a guy's jaw getting shot off screen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whether or not it actually is a human, it looks pretty damn humanoid. And that's probably the way Marvel was able to get away with it, saying, look, they're robots. But... Seriously, this is Jaw going off frame.
I mean, it says right here, look. Target 1, LMD. Target 1, LMD.
Oh, hey, it does. Well, fuck me. But still, you get that visceral level that you don't get.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, and I like that decision, too. I don't know whose it was, but it's something that you can do visually to show the difference between what the superheroes are doing and what their daily life is like and how they perceive fighting and what Nick Fury's perception of fighting is. You can see that difference on the page and not have to write out any of it. I mean, that's like... That's the heart of comics, you guys. It's blowing people's motherfucking faces off.
Well, another thing, too, is all the heroes are using powers, and Nick Fury is using guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And guns are like a tangible... It's like a real dangerous thing in the world, right?
Yeah.
But some fat kid in a red hoodie's not going to shoot pentagrams at you. Right?
Well...
You don't have to worry about that.
So it depends on where you go.
But you're not going to get hurt by those kids.
No, no, you're
if
not.
If you, like, walk through a park and some kid jumps out of the woods and is like, lightning bolt.
No.
You'll be okay.
If you're annoyed, you might have, like, a little golf ball thrown at you or something.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Lightning bolt.
God, that video was amazing.
Lightning bolt.
And then, like, every three lightning bolts, he'd say sleep.
And somebody says death, too.
That's right. I remember that.
And there's a good guy. Okay, we're talking about an internet video.
Like, we haven't done that on the show before.
Well, it's because it's the guy wearing, like, the big cardboard boxes being the bad guy. And he's like, argh! He looks like the knight from... The Black Knight from Monty Python.
The Black Walker. Put him in the comic, too. Okay. But yeah, the art's really solid. I do agree with you guys. And I mean, not just the fact that it's digital art done well, but like, the framing's all good, it's all there. This is really solid art. I don't have much more to say. Do you guys want to get to ratings?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have many bad things to say about this comic.
The one thing I'm going to say that I really loved, and I love that they do this nowadays, is all this stuff in the back of issue one. I don't know if it's in the trade, but in the hardcover issues, there's like a whole thing in the back of issue one with like, breakdowns of where, you know, like Fury's secret bases are with maps and everything and locations and then Hydra's bases and S.H.I.E.L.D. bases. And it's just cool that somebody... It's cool to know that the writer or the editor or somebody was like, I'm going to sit down and fully flesh out the world that I'm writing this in my mind. And I'm going to cross-reference it probably with things that are from comics that are like 20 years old. Like... These might be files that they had sitting around Marvel, but I love that they did it for us to consume.
Well, yeah, I mean, they probably, like you said, somebody sat down when they were planning this comic out, they kind of built the world, right? The setting, and this is probably stuff that came up, and they're like, well, why don't we just put it in the back?
Yeah. Why don't we actually write it down and make it look cool?
Yeah.
Because this kind of stuff, like, I love this kind of stuff, info charts and graphics and timelines for things. Because it gives you so much more information than you need to read the story, but when you read it all and then you read the story, like, you're like, oh, I know exactly where they did on the map. They flew from here to here. That's fucking cool.
It makes it seem more real, because if they reference, like, whatever base, and then usually you see something like that and then gloss over it. And
yeah, Caterpillar base. Great. Fucking wonderful. Yeah. I guess it's underground or something in a cocoon. I don't know.
Or they even say, like, oh, you know, such and such base was compromised, and you're like, I don't even give a shit.
Somewhere over the Atlantic, yeah. Or in the Himalayas, or...
But here, it has substance, and that's nice.
In the back of issue one, it has Yo-Yo's, like, journal, and there's one of them that says, the title is, I hate him. Today in training, I got tortured. Nick Fury is a motherfucker. More later.
More later. Yeah, so I guess time to rate it.
Yeah.
Alright, I'll go first.
Yes.
Since I never go first.
I know. I wouldn't want you to feel left out.
As much as I liked reading this, I think if I'm going to rate it just as this trade, I want to give it a 3. It's a better than average comic, so it's not going to get the 2.5, but like, there's the character development isn't here, the pacing is kind of weird, and I understand in terms of like a bigger story why you have to do that, and I think... I want to go and read the rest of this. I really do. And I think if we were going to like read all of Secret Wars and write down a whole, based on how good this writing is, I know it would be better than a 3 on the whole. But just this trade, like...
Well, I mean, giving it a 3 plus saying I want to go read the rest of it is a pretty decent. It's a pretty good recommendation.
It's a good
comic,
and if somebody likes Nick Fury, like from the movies, I would say go pick this up. This is Nick Fury being a badass the way I know you want to see Nick Fury being a badass. You know, I think this is much more effective at showing you the character than, say, Black Widow was last week.
Yeah.
Like, Black Widow's just, oh, I'm a secret agent spy. I'm going to go mind rape somebody. That's, what the fuck? Non sequitur, lady. Come on. You just messed up. But this is Nick Fury. And then, like, page 4, you know, Daisy's like, this is the burden of working for a badass. And then for the next 4 issues, you just see Nick Fury being a motherfucking badass. And you're like, that delivers. It's exactly what I wanted to read.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you.
His world is shattered around him, and what does he do? He immediately sets about fixing everything.
Yeah, he raises a fucking army with Dum Dum Dugan, which is awesome.
You just like saying that, I think.
I do love saying it.
Great name.
So, I mean, it's missing a lot of the stuff that I want when I read a comic, but it's missing it in all the ways that I know why it's not there. Like, I know why the character development isn't there yet, because this is a big story, and this is the first part of a big story. So on its own, a 3, but I really want to read the rest.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit challenging because it's the beginning of a long, ongoing series, right? And we get introduced to a ton of new characters. I mean, the only character that is pretty well known in the Marvel Universe preceding, like, that people that aren't huge comic readers would know is Nick Fury. Everybody else requires some background. Even, we know what HYDRA is as an organization. But do you know Baron Von Strucker?
I don't know anything about their structure or anything. I think we've seen Baron Von Strucker before in Armor Wars.
Well, like Kraken, Gorgon, the Hive, all these characters, these Hydra characters are new. They're new. I didn't know any of them before reading this series.
And I think we've read other ones that were like the first trade of a series before, but they were always packaged as contained stories, right? Like when we read Power Girl, it was a contained story. When we read, I don't know, She-Hulk, it was a contained story. And yeah, there were loose threads so that you could keep writing the series. But I get the feeling that when Brian Michael Bendis and Jonathan Hickman sat down, like, we're going to write this, the first story they thought of didn't last 5 issues. It lasted, like, 10, 15, or 20 issues. So even though most trades, when you pick up trade paperback, it is a kind of contained story, this is not at all.
Well, I mean, it has, like, a comfortable endpoint. I wouldn't say, like, a logical endpoint or a good endpoint, but most trades have, like, a nice, comfortable...
Yeah.
And you can say, you know, because, I mean, if in these 6 issues, they set out a goal. There was, like, something to do, right? It was get established so they could take on Hydra, and they did that. They got... Nick Fury got his little team, he got the army, they got 3 helicarriers. They're ready to go fight now.
Yeah. But, I mean... So, let me think of a better comparison. So, the big enemy here is Hydra, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the first trade, Hydra's not defeated in the least,
mm-hmm.
right? And compare that to when we read Emerald Dawn with... Emerald Twilight with Kyle Rayner, right? Kyle Rayner gets the ring, first big enemy is Major Force. End of the trade, Major Force is fucking dead. Like, yeah, he's got the ring, and there's this whole new world, and all these things that he has to go do with him being the one Green Lantern and all that, but Major Enemy defeated, feels good. End mm-hmm. of this... We got a helicarrier. Hydra's still all over the fucking world, and S.H.I.E.L.D. is still a pawn.
Yeah.
So, but it's a really, really good 3 for me. And that was a really long answer, David.
Well, I mean, I interrupted you, so.
It's okay. Your turn.
Okay, I'm going to give it, man, this is hard for me because I've read the whole series. I think I can give, I'm going to give this a 3.5. I think I liked it a little bit more than Andy did. It's hard, like I said, it's hard for me to rate this whole thing. There's a lot in here that's interesting, and I mean, we read this to read a cool Nick Fury story, and then we got some cool Nick Fury in here. So
yeah,
on that point, it
definitely satisfies.
And we get, like you said, it's not a self-contained story, but what we do get is interesting and entertaining and all that. I feel like I'm just going to repeat everything you said if I keep talking, so. I'm just going to go with 3.5 and pass it over to Jen.
Okay, so 2.5. It was average. I mean, to me it still feels like it's shaky because this is clearly exposition. I feel like, you know, we don't really need a big wrap-up. We have this dramatic cliffhanger where Nick Fury suddenly has an army and, you know, he's clearly going to go fight Hydra. At the same time, the team itself was kind of meh. And Marvel Comics are usually team-centric, so mm-hmm. when you have a team that you don't expound a lot upon, then I don't know, what are you left with? Nick Fury's neat, says Dum-Dum...
Dum-Dum Dugan!
Dugan, that's his last name. And they're cool, but they're not really meant, I think, to be the forefront of this comic. It's supposed to be Daisy and the other folk, and they didn't impress me that much.
No, that's a good point, because every time that Dum-Dum Dugan came up, I was really excited to read more about Dum-Dum Dugan and mm-hmm. his army, and I'm like, it's going to be a fucking new S.H.I.E.L.D. army coming up, like, an army of ex-S.H.I.E.L.D. agents going to take this helicarrier, that's awesome. And then when Daisy and the team came in, I was like, ah, yeah, I guess we need them.
Yeah. And I mean, Dum-Dum's the one who's organizing the army. He's like, I will get you the best fucking army on Earth. And you believe that promise. Whereas, you know, I don't know where Daisy's team is going to go. We've already heard predictions about what's going to happen. Like, the druid's going to be the hero and JT's going to die. And some stuff already has come true. And it's like, okay. I don't know. I enjoyed reading this, but I don't know if I'd pick up the rest of the run based on the exposition, because it's supposed to lay the groundwork mm-hmm. and entice me. And while I understand some things are, like, better as they get into the story, you know, you still have to engage your reader and get them to read to that point. So,
mm-hmm.
average, 2.5.
Okay. Well, I feel good after reading this one, though. It was fun to read. But you're right, 2.5 is an average rating, and there's nothing wrong with that. So that wraps up... What do we call this arc? Not S.H.I.E.L.D., because we didn't see S.H.I.E.L.D. at all.
This isn't really an arc.
Just Black Widow and Nick Fury?
Well, we were doing heroes that we hadn't read about from the movie.
Yes,
that's so right. That's why we're doing Hulk next.
That's right.
Two episodes.
Yeah, so the next two episodes are going to be Hulk Smash. We're going to read Incredible Hulk, Prelude to Planet Hulk, and then we're going to read Incredible Hulk, Planet Hulk. And so, Prelude to Planet Hulk is from Incredible Hulk 2005, issues 88 to 91. And then Incredible Hulk, Planet Hulk is Incredible Hulk 92 to 105. So that's 4 issues and then 13 issues.
Yeah.
The Prelude's much shorter. That's what we're going to do the next 2 weeks. Until then, you can hit up the website to see all about what we've got planned for After Hulk and beyond. And the website is www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com. You can ask us via Gmail,
which is atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
You can also hit us up on Twitter,
which is @APSupercast or twitter.com/APSupercast.
And as always, please subscribe to us on iTunes. That way we can fill your ear holes every single week.
And we're on Facebook, so you should
right. You
should like us, because yeah. We're likable.
So if you just go to Facebook and search for Atomic Powered Supercast, we are the first thing to come up. Which is why we picked that name, because nobody else has it.
Word.
I gotta get a personalized URL, so next week you can just say facebook.com/APSC or something like that. I gotta get on that.
Do it.
Okay. Cool.
Alrighty.
Until next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, it was what was Batman's guilty pleasure? And I put sexting, and that was the winning one.
See, God, if that had come up, I had dead parents in my hand.
Oh! That was the last hand we played.
Oh, it was in my hand. I had, like, I'm waiting for a good chance to use dead parents.
Sam was, like, trying to figure out which one to win, and I sold sexting to him, because I was like, hey, Catwoman, I'm straddling a gargoyle. What are you wearing? And he was like, winner.